Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to take you on a 20-year journey today on how we managed an outbreak of HIV in regional WA and set up a rural remote HIV service. Goes without saying, WA is a big place. Russia has pipped us. However, we are the largest health jurisdiction in the world, and we span an area of over 2.5 million kilometres. Just to put that in perspective, if you're coming down from Wyndham, it's going to take you over 40 hours in a car. If you want to catch a flight from Broome, it's 2.5 hours. And for the health fitness people amongst us, it will take you 345 days to walk from Port Hedland. Most of our population is in Perth and the southwest. Bunbury is our next largest populated city with a population of over 50,000. We have many Aboriginal remote communities scattered throughout our states and many small towns. So going back in time to 1994, I know some of you are there with me. All our HIV service was in metropolitan Perth. There were no S100 prescribers. We had a regional outbreak of HIV, which was very remote. There were no processes in place for laboratory testing and transportation of samples from the regions. In many units in the country, HIV people had gone to ground. One particular regional town had a meeting at the town hall on how they were going to look after these people in town or move them out of town. 94, the concerns regarding the outbreak and the HIV transmission. There were 24 new diagnoses in Aboriginal people. The problem was acknowledged, however, a solution needed to be found. 94 was pre-HART. We were pre-internet. We were pre-emails. We were pre-mobile phones, unless you were posh enough to have one of those bricks. Between 94 and 96, the consultation process started with local community, Aboriginal elders, Aboriginal medical service, the public health units, the bloodborne virus program of our health department, and our physicians at Royal Perth Hospital. They began liaising directly with the public health physicians on how to manage our patients and provide the care. Patients were actually started on treatment. 96, a holidaying physician visited the region and all the patients left town. And I'd like to acknowledge Professor Martin French because he was leading the consultation process at that particular time. Lovely photo, Martin. Between 96 and 98, that research and consultation continued and staffing was appointed within the regional unit. One male Aboriginal health worker and one female Aboriginal health worker, a social worker, a nurse to manage and support these patients living with HIV. There was an update in the region with 27 attendees. The rural remote service was formally established and head of service appointed, which was Martin French, and funding for a 0.5 nursing coordinator from Royal Perth Hospital. The role of the coordinator was many, but most of all it was to triage the inquiries, coordinate the care, ensure medications were delivered, and manage the blood tests and results. It was a multidisciplinary team approach to care, medical, nursing, allied health, Aboriginal health workers, public health teams, pharmacy, community agencies, and their list is endless. 1998, it was a very small staff base to ensure that we could build that rapport, relationship and trust with the patients, and this was done at the regional level. The specialist service, including the doctor and nurse, visited the region every 3 months and provided education sessions, and on average we saw 15 patients per clinic. Confidentiality has always been our biggest concern and still is today. In the year 2000, the local team in the region organised an Aboriginal women's retreat, which brought people together from different regions. It was peer-based support. This was a turning point in the isolation for many of our patients living in the country. They discovered they were not alone. In 2003, Bonner, Greville and Thompson did the first social research into the experiences of Aboriginal people in Western Australia and what it was like to live with HIV. This is on the Health Department website. It's really an important read. So from 2005 onwards, our rural remote service grew. We enrolled over 100 patients. We established further outreach clinics. We got funding from a bloodborne virus program for another 0.5 case management worker in another region. And my funding was increased to a full-time FTE. The challenges for the rural patients are many: isolation, confidentiality, fear of disclosure and rejection, shame, access to services, continuity of care, high mobility of our patients, and guilt. I was talking to a patient in clinic 2 weeks ago and telling her I was going to present here today. And she said, "Ali, I want you to take this to your big conference. I want you to tell them how I feel." I live in three worlds. I live in my world, the blackfella's world, where I live in shame and fear that people are going to find out about my HIV infection, and I fear I'm going to be rejected. I live in your world, the white man's world, where I conform to you and take your treatments and listen to you. And then my family. This is the biggest that I struggle with, because I'm hiding my illness from my family. I feel so guilty. It's really thought-provoking that we still face this challenge in 2019. So, for us healthcare workers, we face challenges along the way with our rural service and many obstacles. That included distance, conflicting roles of health public health physicians doing clinical care, that lack of S100 prescribing, the confidentiality, high staff turnover, antiretroviral therapy only available in Perth, financial governance of our medication supply. The logistics of testing. In the early days, we were having processing errors. We didn't have the correct centrifuges in the region, much to the frustration of a certain physician that turned up in our immunology department with the sample coming down on a commercial flight in her handbag. We have now formalised guidelines, pre-printed forms to assist in collection, and we bleed early in the week. Logistics of getting to our clinics if there are flight delays, and I've put this one up in particular because we went out for our Kalgoorlie clinic only to circle the super pit and head back to Perth. Logistics of sending medications. Some of our patients live offshore, some roads get flooded in cyclone season, so we have a system in place now that when they open their last bottle of medication, that's their cue to contact us so we can continue that supply. And of course, if the airline goes down as Ansett did in early 2000, that's going to really stuff your service up. We have an adaptable model of care, a flexible appointment system. The RPH clinicians and nurse visit six locations now to provide outreach care. Patients attend in person. We utilise telehealth and lately video call. Telehealth facilities are available throughout all the regions at the major centres and some of the Aboriginal medical services, but an advancement for us has been a video call, which links in directly with the patient's iPhone tablet. We can do our consult in their home now. We've done them at lunchtimes, we've done them on the side of the road. So, 20 years on, 177 patients are still under our care. 330 patients have been managed over the 20 years. That's 1,800 years of patient care. The medium distance from Perth is 593 kilometres. 39% are living in the most remote areas of Western Australia. We have a look at the demographics of that 330. 68% are men, 32% are female, 20% are Aboriginal, and 34% have been born overseas. We actually have a look at the picture of the regions. Those in brackets are patients that have actually left the region, and that highlights our high mobility and transient nature. The current numbers are those living within the regions, and I want to point out the higher numbers in the mining areas, and that also brings issues of Medicare ineligibility. I'd also like to point out that there's been successful management of 39 pregnancies with only one episode of vertical transmission, and we do have a poster up at number 43. Clinic attendance. The ways the patients are accessing our clinics, 20 attend solely country clinics, 79 still come through our city clinic. We're using 41 who use the telehealth service, 12 video call, 25 are using a combo of all of them. And for those patients that we cannot reach, we do a multidisciplinary meeting with the physicians in the regions to manage the care of those patients. We have a look at the attendance in our clinics. My nurse-led clinic last year, I had 697 patients. That can be telephoned through email. Advice and consultancy, over 1,500. And for those that know me, I like to have a chat, not only with my patients, but with staff out in the regions. Nurse-led clinic, we've got 100% engagement in care. Medical appointments average 3 per year. Some are less, some are more. Our outcomes of December 2018, 91% of our patients are receiving treatment. 94% of our patients have an undetectable viral load. We have been able to successfully manage our cohort. We've established our service and expanded to other areas. We've had containment and prevention, and we've had cost savings. We've been able to provide culturally appropriate care with the links that we work with in the regions. We've overcome that high mobility of patients, and we've had that engagement and care. Geographic location has been an obstacle, but we've overcome that. So what have we learnt since that original outbreak? That original outbreak taught us a lot. So now we're able to go in and support people in the regions if there are other outbreaks. And the most important thing is to get in quick and get the appropriate resource, appropriate staff and culturally appropriate staff. And we wouldn't be able to do this without the wonderful teams we work with. I'd like to acknowledge the Midwest Public Health team, Marissa Gillies and her team, Cyril, Karen, Pat, Gloria, Lynn. We couldn't do our work without you. Thank you for allowing us City Slickers to come out to the regions. You have taught us an awful lot. This particular slide, we saw every patient that went through that clinic to protect our patient confidentiality. And as the sun rises over South Headland Health Campus, where we're embarking on 3 clinics, 3 locations in 2 days. I'd like to acknowledge Pilbara Population Health, in particular Philippa Jones, Heather Little, Amali, Tina. Your work has been wonderful. As we head down and east out to Kalgoorlie, the Goldfields Public Health team, Dr. Charles Douglas, who said, I will not have the spread of HIV on my patch, and worked with the most vulnerable clients, providing 7-day-a-week directly observed therapy. Hannah, Keely, and Joe, you're all part of that team. And as the sun sets over Cable Beach, I'd like to thank the Kimberley Physician team, Lydia Scott, Jay Martin, Kimberley Population Health, Troy Edwards, Jules Jahari, you've taught me a lot. And I make no apologies for this very busy slide. This has been a collaboration of many people that has given us these outcomes. I'd like to make particular mention to Professor French for setting the service and heading the service over 20 years, Dr. David Noland, our current head of service, Clary Taliano, who supports our outreach clinics, the Bloodborne Virus Program for all of their support, the immunology nursing team, Leah Williams, Jenny Skett, our social worker, Morgan Bonnet, WA AIDS Council. And finally, I can breathe. I'd like to thank the rural remote patients for placing their trust in us as health professionals. And most importantly, never give up on your patients and never give up no matter what obstacles are thrown in your way. Thank you.